Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sun Pharma's Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma, Vice President and Head of Investor Relations and Strategic Projects. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our second quarter FY26 earnings call. I'm Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q2 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Chairman; Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, Managing Director; Mr. Aalok Shanghvi, Chief Operating Officer; Ms. Jayashree Satagopan, CFO; and Mr. Richard Ascroft, CEO, North America. Today, the team will provide an update on the financial performance and business highlights for the quarter, pipeline updates, and respond to any questions that you may have. We will refer to the consolidated financials for management comments. The call recording and call transcript will also be put on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that our business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Ms. Jayashree Satagopan.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of our financial results for the second quarter FY26. Our Q2 financials are already with you. Let me take you through the consolidated financials of the second quarter. Q2 FY26 sales were at ₹144,052 million, recording a growth of 8.6% vis-à-vis the second quarter of FY25. Gross margin was at 79.3% for this quarter. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹45,271 million, registering an increase of 14.9% over Q2 last year. EBITDA margin percentage for the quarter was at 31.3% against 29.6% for Q2 FY25 and 31.1% during the first quarter of FY26. Net profit after tax for Q2 FY26 was ₹31,180 million, which is up by 2.6% over the reported net profit of Q2 last year. EPS for the quarter was ₹13 per share. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 24.7% vis-à-vis 15.8% in Q2 FY25. During the first quarter of FY26, the ETR was at 24.3%. Forex gain during the quarter was ₹4,305 million, compared to a gain of ₹1,281 million during the same period last year. Balance sheet continues to be strong, with a net cash of $2.9 billion at a consolidated level. This is after our investment in the business acquisition of Checkpoint and settling the GX-MDL case. Now, let me take you through the half-yearly performance. For the first half, sales were at ₹281,913 million, registering a growth of 9.3% over the first half last year. Gross margin was at 79.4% for the first half. EBITDA for the first half was ₹88,287 million, registering a growth of 17% over the first half of last year. EBITDA margin percentage was at 31.2%. Adjusted net profit for H1 was ₹61,141 million, up by 4.1% over the adjusted net profit of H1 during the last year. I will now hand over this call to Kirti, who will share the performance of our global innovative medicines and India business.
Thank you, Jayashree. In Q2 FY26, our global innovative medicine sales were up by 16.4% to reach $313 million. US sales of innovative medicine has surpassed generics for the first time during the quarter. Our ex-US innovative medicine business also continues to deliver strong growth. Our largest brand, Ilumya, is now commercialized in all the major markets and is available across 35 markets. Coming to India business, for Q2, the sales of formulation in India were ₹47,348 million, recording a growth of 11% over Q2 last year. India's formulation sales accounted for 32.9% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.33% market share in over 2350 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per PharmaRack MAT September 2025. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8%. For the quarter ending September 2025, we grew higher than IPM and we have done well across all major represented therapy areas. We are happy to note that on MAT basis, the sales growth has been led by volumes and new product launches versus the IPM growth, which is predominantly price-led. As per SMSRC March-June 2025 report, we continue to be number one brand company based on the prescription volumes. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescription with 13 different doctor categories. For Q2 FY26, the company launched 9 new products in India. I will now hand over call to Rick for the updates on the US business.
Thank you, Kirti. I will update on the performance highlights of our U.S. business. Our overall U.S. business declined by 4.1% to $496 million for the quarter. Growth in innovative medicines was led by Ilumya, Cequa, and Odomzo. Innovative medicines growth was offset by lower sales in our generics business due to additional competition for certain products and lower sales of lenalidomide. The U.S. accounted for 30% of consolidated sales for the quarter. For the second quarter, we launched 3 new generic products in the U.S. We also launched Lexulvia this quarter, and we've been pleased with our initial access and the response from healthcare providers and patients that they've had to the product. We anticipate access will continue to improve, as well as overall uptake of the product. I will now hand over the call to Alok, who will cover emerging markets and rest of world.
Thank you, Rick. I will provide an update on the performance highlights of our other businesses. Our formulation revenues in emerging markets were $325 million, up by 10.9% over Q2 last year. The underlying growth in constant currency terms was 8%. In emerging markets, we have seen broad-based growth both in the generic and innovative medicines business, aided by favorable currency movement. Emerging markets accounted for 19.7% of total consolidated revenue for the second quarter. Amongst the larger markets in local currency terms, South Africa and Brazil have done well. Formulation revenues in rest of the world were $234 million, up 17.7% over last quarter over the Q2 last year. We have seen growth both in the generic and innovative medicines business in rest of the world, and rest of the world markets account for approximately 14.2% of consolidated revenue. I will now hand over to Mr. Sun.
Thank you, Alo. Let me take you through our R&D initiatives. We continue to invest in building a R&D pipeline of our innovative medicines business. Consolidated investments towards R&D for Q2 FY26 stands at ₹7,827 million, or 5.4% of sales. Innovative R&D accounted for 38% of our total R&D spend and stands at approximately 10% of global innovative medicine sales for the quarter. Regarding updates on innovative medicines, we are awaiting FDA decision on Unloxcyt updated labeling, and we remain on track to launch Unloxcyt in the US in the second half of FY26. We are also planning to file Ilumya psoriatic arthritis SBLA during second half of FY26.
Operators, we can open for Q&A now.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah,
Saion, we can't hear you. Your voice is breaking. Mr. Saion Mukherjee, you may go ahead with the question. We seem to have lost the line for Mr. Mukherjee. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, Kunal, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. The first one on the intangible assets, which seem to have moved sharply from the March 25 level, almost around 950 million plus. USD. So I can see there is $300 million intangibles which have moved from under development to other intangible head. But if you could provide a broader moving pieces here.
Thank you, Kunal, for your question. The increase in the intangible assets is also due to the checkpoint intangible that has got added during the quarter. And we also had a milestone payment for Odomzo.
Okay, so checkpoint would be close to 400 million plus, right?
Yeah, it is about $471 million.
So then rest of the 500 million, what is driving that?
So we had Lexelvi related apart from checkpoint, mm-hmm. which is another larger piece, as you would know.
So, Kunal, Lexelvi moved from intangibles under development into intangibles.
Okay, so that's another 300 million, and there should be order. Yeah.
No, then the rest are several small items. So, it's largely checkpoint and Lexelvi.
Okay, sure. Thank you for that color. Secondly, on the incremental specialty spend that we had suggested, that would be spending around $100 million in this year, related to the launches of Lexelvi and Unloxcyt. So is it fair to assume that some of that has started in Q2, and should we see the run rate to be more similar in the quarter three, quarter four, or should we expect some acceleration, deceleration? Any color would be helpful.
Yes, I'm happy to address that. So we did see a slight increase in Q2, and we would expect to see further increases in Q3, Q4, particularly as we launch and lock it.
Sure. And lastly, on the generic piece, the generic Revlimid seems to have kind of gone down even on a sequential basis. Is it a fair assumption? And would it be now a meaningful contributor in this quarter?
In the quarter that follows?
In quarter two versus quarter one, the movement of lenalidomide?
Yeah, okay. So on lenalidomide, we have said that YOY there is a drop. QOQ, the number is flat.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. We have two questions on the specialty business. On Leqselvi, when should we start seeing contribution, revenue contribution from, you know, the improving payer coverage and payer access that you talked about? You know, would more meaningful revenue contribution from this be evident, you know, let's say, in the later part of this fiscal, or more so, would you say, in 2027? What would be your assumption there?
We're already starting to see paid prescriptions through commercial channels, and we would expect that to continue to grow throughout the year.
Understood. And on Ilumya, is it fair to assume that you know, the prescription growth that we're seeing, I know as a category, biologics and psoriasis is growing, but even as we wait for you know, psoriatic arthritis approval to come through, we can continue to see the momentum and prescription growth over the next 2 years?
Was the question related to Ilumya for psoriasis?
Yes, that's right.
We do expect to see continued growth. As you shared, the IL-23 market continues to grow, as does the overall psoriasis market. We continue to release new data on Ilumya and sharpen our sales and marketing tactics, so we would expect to see continued growth.
Understood. And the last one I have is on R&D spend. You know, if you look at R&D, we are obviously tracking below the guidance that we had revised down last quarter. You know, how should we think about R&D spend for the full year? You know, do we expect it to come going into second half, or would it remain at the current, you know, 5.5% level that we see?
So, Neha, I think we should come in the lower end of the guidance overall. That's what is our assessment today.
Lower end of the 6-8% guidance that you've mentioned, right, sir?
Right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, you may press star and one. The next question is from Vishal Manchanda from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I have a question on the balance sheet. If I look at the other current assets, it's almost doubled since March 25, from 2,500 crores to almost 5,000 crores. Could you clarify on this? What led to this?
This is mainly on account of the GX MDL settlement, which has gone into an escrow account.
Which settlement?
Last quarter, we had a settlement on the GX MDL case, and that amount has been deposited in an escrow account.
Okay, understood. And second one on Cosibelimab, wanted to understand whether it has been filed for European markets and whether our competitors, Keytruda and Libati, or do they have a European approval already?
Yeah, we are in the process of compiling the dossier for Europe. Once it's filed, we will share the update with investors.
Thank you, sir. And just one final one on Odomzo. If you could share what would be Odomzo's share in the basal cell carcinoma market between, so among the BRAF inhibitors?
It's not a BRAF inhibitor. No, it's a hedgehog inhibitor. So I think it all depends on different geographies. Rick can update on the U.S. market share, but in Europe, I think it's in excess of 60% market share.
Yeah, and it depends on the customer. In dermatologists, we have over a 50% share in the United States.
And in the overall market, including the oncologist?
The oncologists are slightly less. I don't have the exact figure for the overall market at this time.
Okay. And would dermatologists be the primary prescriber here?
It's both.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Harith Ahmed from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. On semaglutide, where we have a filing in Canada as per Health Canada disclosures, based on your previous experience with filings in that market, what are the timelines that we can look at for approval of this product? And on semaglutide again, in India, where the market formation is expected in March 26, do we plan to have our product ready with an approval by the market formation time?
So India, I will ask Kirti. And
yeah, India, I think what we had told you in the last call also, India will be ready for the launch in the first wave when the LOE happens or the patent expires.
For
Canada?
For Canada, I don't believe we share that information.
One is that, and second, I think
we
is
don't
that
know.
It's still not very clear.
Right, how Canada has been.
Okay. And in the ROW segment, we've seen a very strong growth this quarter, constant currency terms around 17 to 18%. And in the last quarter, we had alluded to some one-time sales. So has that continued into the second quarter?
So before we answer the drivers for this one, there is no one-off in this quarter sales. For ROW, basically the growth has been led by both generics as well as innovative medicines. But there is no one-off.
Okay. And then, a couple of months back, there was an announcement by the U.S. president on 100% tariffs on patented drug imports into the U.S. Well, there's no final policy that's being released yet, but is this a risk for our IM products, given that we are manufacturing these products outside the U.S.? And at the same time, we are manufacturing these in geographies where U.S. already has a trade deal, and these trade deals cover pharma as well. So how should we look at this particular risk?
Look, as you say, there's a lot of uncertainty at this point. I mean, we don't have any additional tariffs that we're paying today. The original announcement has been put on pause, and we're still awaiting the outcome of the Section 232 investigation.
Okay, I'll get back to you. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Bharat from Equirus. Please go ahead. Bharat from Equirus, you may go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to understand that there is some investment into subsidiaries which is showing up in the cash flows amounting to almost like 3,400 crore. Can you explain what is it all about?
This is mainly Checkpoint acquisition.
Because this amounts to almost like 390 million, whereas we have paid almost like around 500 million for Checkpoint. So it was trying to understand that. There was a big difference.
No, the Checkpoint consideration is not 500, but it's less. It's what we disclosed was 355 plus.
Surely, that's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Just the first one again on the consolidated cash flow statement. Just the net cash generated YOY has declined despite similar profits. So just I can see it as working capital, but if you could explain why are lower cash generated, please.
Yeah, there is some amount of increase in the working capital, which we believe will get normalized in this quarter, as I was also mentioning in the initial commentary. There has been settlement that has happened towards GXMDL plus our brand acquisitions that have happened, which is the reason why the cash flow overall has come down compared to the last from 1st April 25.
So by the end of the fiscal, we expect this to be the generation to be in line at least with the growth seen in PBT. Let's assume. I missed.
Yeah, I think the cash generation, to clarify, has been good. Working capital changes happens during the quarter, and it has happened during this quarter. Other than that, there have been two other items. One is a business acquisition, the other one is a settlement. So they should get normalized.
Helpful. Just on the opening comments now, I think called out that the U.S. business formulations, we have now innovative higher than generics. Some, obviously, you don't call it out, but of a 500 million U.S. formulation, if I assume 250, 260 is now innovative. That's 70-80% of global innovative business, right? So just maybe the question is the other way around. What is the prognosis now for the generic business? Do you foresee that this, you know, kind of decline continues, you know, does it still be, make sense for us to be, it's still significant, but just your thoughts on how we should look at the U.S. generic business going forward.
Our strategy is to grow both our innovative medicines business as well as our generics business.
Got it. Helpful. Last question, just again, just in light of the tariffs and you know, U.S.-based or localized manufacturing in the U.S., what are your thoughts? Is there any move for us to move supply chains back into the U.S.? I know policy is still uncertain, but just your thoughts. You have enough cash, you know, what about looking at U.S. manufacturing assets? Thank you.
Yes, we already have a manufacturing footprint in the U.S. We are kind of constantly assessing that manufacturing footprint, and we are open to considering moves to the U.S. in due time.
Helpful. Yeah. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity again. Just on ROW, is there any particular new launch that we have seen or particular geography which has done good? And what would be the constant currency growth?
Yeah, so there is very little Forex impact, and the growth was led by both the generic and the innovative medicine, particularly by Ilumya and Odomzo.
Sure. Yeah, and the second question I have is on the India semaglutide market, once it goes generic. Will Sun Pharma be in both the dosage forms? And slightly, you know, longer horizon question is, you know, Sun Pharma's expectation of how the GLP-1 market is expected to grow in the medium term. Any color would be helpful.
Sure. No, I can tell you broadly, the GLP market is very exciting and it will continue to grow, but very difficult to give any specific numbers and what it will be, it will grow in the future. What we can say, we want to participate in the market whenever the first opportunity is available. Yeah.
And will we be there in both the dosage forms, injectable as well as oral?
I don't want to disclose that much is what, but we will remain competitive. If others launch, we'll also launch along with them. That's what we are saying.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your US dollar 100 million spend for supporting the two launches in this fiscal. If you can explain how cost will build up, say majority of hiring for salespeople, et cetera, will be done in this year itself. Going forward in 2027, what kind of cost you assume to continue? Some color on that will be helpful.
Yes, we have already. Obviously, we've launched Leqselvi, so that sales force is in place, and we do now have the sales force in place for Unloxcyt. We will start to obviously see those expenses. Some of these expenses will continue to occur in 2027 and beyond as we continue to support and grow these two very important products.
Is it reasonable to assume that majority of the fixed cost will be covered within this 100 million budget which you have put aside? Then going ahead, it will be more variable costs in line with how products gain market share. Will that be logical assumption to take?
I think so. What I would say is that, you know, the sales force, obviously that cost will continue. Our marketing expenses will continue. The patient support programs will continue. Some of the upfront marketing costs will not. Those are more one-time costs. We'll continue to have the carrying cost of the people as well as our marketing and patient support programs.
Okay, that's helpful. My second question is a clarification on Revlimid opportunity. Should we assume September was the last quarter when you had some meaningful sales coming from that product, and going ahead there will be virtually no sales, or how should we look at that?
We'll have a small amount of sales for the rest of the fiscal year.
Okay. Majority is done in first half, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Vishal Manchanda from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. On just a clarification on Fibromun, is the phase III and phase II data on soft tissue sarcoma and glioblastoma, is that yet to come out or it's already there?
Yeah, I think both the data are yet to come out. This is also something which will be disclosed by Philogen, who is managing the studies.
Okay. Any timelines, like would this be announced this fiscal year or it will take longer?
I mean, I don't want to announce on their behalf, but I'm not aware that there is any delay in the recruitment or conduct of the study.
Okay. Second, on the GLP-1 compound, GL0034, we have been kind of pushing this like a bit, kind considering the competitive landscape, we are probably pushing it later, I think. We are not hurrying to develop this. Is there a reason to this or?
No, I think.
How should we?
No, I think we are quite excited with the early data that we are getting with patients, both for MASH as well as for diabetes. We would be presenting this data shortly. The phase II study also, I think we disclosed that should be in the press release we've given. That should start shortly, global phase II.
Okay. Are we doing this through the recombinant route or the synthetic route?
No. As on today, I think, the initial all the studies have been done with synthetic, but at some point of time we might even consider switching over to recombinant.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. Yes, quickly on Cequa, I know that Restasis already has enough generic players, but you know, there is anticipation that we could see some more competition there. Does that impact our ability to grow Cequa at all? You know, if we do see additional competition in Restasis, you know, what do you think would be the impact on Sequa given how well you've been doing in that product?
Yeah, we continue to see good growth for Sequa even as new competitors have come to the market. We believe it has a good value proposition for patients, and we put in the right programs to support patients as well. So even as new competitors have entered, we have continued to grow and would expect to continue to do so.
A new competition coming into respiratory does not impact pricing at all for Sequa. Would that be a fair assumption?
Can you re-ask the question, please?
What she's saying is that generics for restasis, whether that affects your growth of Sequa.
Not really, no. I think the what currently is in place for Restasis, it will just be eroded by further generics. As you know, they've been able to hold on to quite a bit of share, but the generics will largely compete with Restasis and won't have a meaningful impact on the other brands within the category.
Understood. And second question, I know there's a lot of uncertainty on the tariff situation, but I think there is another new investigation under the Section 301 that was mentioned in recently. Does that in any way impact Ilumya, even though we don't sell Ilumya in Europe, it's through the partner? Do you think that could be under consideration as a part of this investigation? Any views you have around that?
I don't think we have any views at this time. I think as we shared before, the tariff situation, as you know, is very fluid and uncertain. So it's hard for us to predict what the impact will be on our on either our generics or innovative medicines portfolio at this time.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the specialty business in the non-US. See, in fact, what we are observing that the ROW and emerging market growth looks really strong in the recent quarters. So is it mainly driven by the fundamental growth triggers that we are witnessing in those markets, or it is also a role played by the specialty business in the non-US?
Both, actually. Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, both of them are factors in how the growth plays out.
Okay. So can you elaborate a bit on your specialty in the non-US market business? Although it has already been indicated that brands of US is likely to see newer markets and hence growth. So any incremental initiative thought process about expansion, extension of these brands, if you can?
Well, what I said is like Ilumya, we are launched in 35 countries. And some of the countries, the launch has happened over a period of last 1 year. So this launch will also get picked up, and we see there will be good commercial traction. So ex-US, I believe that Ilumya will be a strong franchise for us to continue to grow.
Okay. Okay. And the second question is about the semaglutide entry in Canada. Although we have filed for that, whether we will be there in the first round of commercialization or how later that we would be, even if our filing is relatively recent. So any sense about your timeline about the commercialization of the product in the Canada?
Yeah, we really don't have any further comments on that at this time.
Sure. Next point is about the tariff one. So whether we have any negotiated price the way innovators are offering to Trump for their Medicaid program. So for our innovative brands, whether we have any negotiated price with the Trump RX?
We do not. As you probably are aware, we were not one of the 17 companies that received letters from the Trump administration.
Okay, so then this tariff concern is a kind of overdone now, considering the kind of arrangement what innovators are trying to have with Trump RX.
We don't know, is the honest answer. I think it's unclear what will happen with the tariffs after the investigation. What we know now is that there's a pause. We believe that, you know, generics are already excluded. We believe that will continue to be the case. And it's unclear at this point what the impact will be on brands. Certainly, we'll be prepared to have discussions when the time comes.
So, sir, just one bookkeeping question.
Surya, can you get back in the queue, please?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. So first question on Leqselvi, even though the penetration of targeted treatments for alopecia areata is quite low in the U.S., we have seen some stagnation in prescriptions for one of the other two molecules for this indication in particular. So from a market standpoint, is there any aspect that could hinder growth for targeted treatments like Leqselvi?
We expect the market to continue to grow. You're probably commenting one of the competitors has stopped promotion. So that's, and as well as, you know, we've launched, there's been another competitor that have launched that are having an impact on that product's growth. We believe the market will continue to grow. We see that. We see new physicians that are starting to provide JAKs or are starting to prescribe JAK inhibitors. And over time, we would expect that confidence to grow, the number of prescribers to grow, and more patients to be treated.
Understood. And the second one is more of a clarification. I missed your response on the U.S. manufacturing presence. You spoke about already having a presence, but you also spoke about open to considering further manufacturing presence in the U.S. Did I hear it correctly?
That is correct.
Yeah. We're open for all options.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Sashank Krishnakumar from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. One question that I had on biosims. I know that we have been always steadfastly focused on scaling up our specialty portfolio in the U.S. But given the FDA's recent guidance, any rethink in terms of a U.S. /Europe biosimilar strategy, given that a lot of our peers have been incrementally allocating more capital and R&D investments to biosims. So any rethink there in terms of our strategy for the U.S.?
So I think we are studying the and possibly waiting for the clear guidance to come before we take a decision, because clearly this would reduce potential investment, but there will also be impact in terms of future competition. So also there is no complete clarity on substitution. So all of that will help us finally take a decision.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you. Next question is from Anubhav Sahu from MC Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the SEMA opportunity. Basically, I want to understand how calendar year 26 will look at as far as this opportunity is concerned. Are we basically targeting Canada and India as the key two geographies for the generic launch? And at the same time, I mean, just trying to understand what capacity we are looking at for ourselves for the GLP-1 drugs. I mean, and how much we plan to do it in-house?
Sure. I think Canada, there are two questions already been asked. We are not giving any clarification on Canada. Coming to India, as I said earlier, we will launch once there is a LOE. Yeah. Regarding capacity and where we manufacture, we are not disclosed. So, yeah.
Okay. And for our innovative molecule, Utrigutide, I mean, could you mention which key indication we are looking at? I mean, I understand obesity, anti-diabetes, one of them, but are the other indication also which we are looking at?
Yeah, I think the phase 2 that we are disclosed is a type 2 diabetes study.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Rashmi from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. We have seen a spike in interest cost this quarter. And if I see the balance sheet, short-term borrowings have also gone up. So is it because of the acquisition or, you know, it would be reduced in the future or anything, if you can comment on it?
Yeah, you're right. This is a short-term borrowing that we have taken for the acquisition. And since it is also short-term in nature, it will get evened out in the coming quarters.
Okay, so the amount will be more or less similar to, you know, last year level only. I mean, you will bring it down to that level.
Yeah, it should get reduced over a period in time.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. One clarification about the tax rate. So this quarter looks obviously higher with 27% plus kind of tax rate. And also there is a kind of a adjustment, kind of a one-time adjustment relating to the merger. So if that is to be factored, then the tax rate will look even higher, more than 30%. So first of all, what is that 140 crore kind of adjustment, whether it is into that rate already, and that is to be a separated, considering it is one of, if you can give some clarity about that, man, and what is the ETR that you are expecting for the full year?
Yeah. Our ETR has gone up to 24.5, and we expect it to be hovering around 25%. This is what we've been guiding. We used to get some benefits on account of carry forward tax losses, as well as the benefits of having our facilities in Assam and Sikkim. Those are getting over, and therefore the tax rate will get normalized.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
And just one more point about the GLP-1 opportunity. So how do we position ourselves in terms of the, or let's say whether our focus would be vial-oriented to enter into the domestic market, or it would be pen-oriented approach that we would follow?
We have to remain competitive, and we need to have a product which can compete with the best product. Even the semaglutide, which Kirti is talking about, will be a pen product. So that's not an issue.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks everyone for joining in. If you have any questions which remain unanswered today, you can always reach out to the investor relations team. Good evening. Good night to all of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sun Pharma, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.